Job chapter 5, if you would please. And we're going to have two more parts here of Eliphaz's comments to Job. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, for sake of time, I'm just going to read the first 16 verses, because that's about all the further we're going to get today. It's always difficult on a Wednesday night to get very far, but we're going to get as far as we can. So look here at chapter 5 of the book of Job. Eliphaz continues and says, "Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet a man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth." Of God, there we are. Woo-hoo. But it was one of, I believe, of a demonic nature. Whether it was a demon, whether it was a fallen angel, or whether it was Satan himself. But I believe it was an attack on Job. By the way, Satan wasn't done, because he still hadn't gotten Job to do what he said Job would do if all this was taken from him. So he's continuing to attack Job, but now he's going to use his friends to do the same. And so all of these accusations are false accusations. All these assumptions are false assumptions. Now, they're based in truth. Does God judge the wicked? Does the wicked prosper? I mean, the answer is yes, but no, right? They may seem to prosper, but the answer is no. They will be judged. There is judgment. There is destruction. Being wicked, living wicked, is never the right answer. Okay? It's going to be judged. So God says, don't focus on those things, right? But the devil says, focus on those things, because there's injustices here and God's unjust. And so don't serve him, right? That's the whole thing. Eliphaz has fallen into this trap that, okay, Job, the only way that you would be going through this grief, that you'd be going through this great loss, is if you weren't right with God. That's the only way possible. And so he's using his great intellect, and he's, getting to this conclusion in his life. And he's like, it has to be Job. But I want you to see how he takes it one step further. Look at the beginning here of chapter 5. He talks to Job, and by the way, he still hasn't given Job an opportunity to answer. And he's still fresh off of this thing about this spirit, visiting him in the night, and how the spirit is accusing God of not doing a good job of creating servants. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. So, I mean, goodness. But he says to Job now, in this first verse, he says, "Call now. If there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn?" Now, what a comment to make. And he's basically asking Job if he's even really saved. Job, is there really anyone you can call out to? Is there anyone that will answer you? Is there anyone that will plead your cause? He says, hey, call out. See if there's anyone that will answer you. See if there's anyone that will help. See if there's anyone that will take up for you and be on your side. He's like, there aren't any. And he kind of goes from there. He kind of gets on a thing there. Well, they're all on my side. And there's nobody on your side. You're alone in this. You understand that as Eliphaz makes these suppositions, he himself is the fool, while calling Job foolish. You know, a lot of times we pretend to know what people are going through, when we really don't. Now, we may suppose we know, and you know what? Let's say maybe you're right. Is that really what we're going for? To be right? Because sometimes we damage a lot of things just to be right. You know, being right is not always that, take this the right way, it's not always that important. It is important to be right. Don't take that wrong, okay? But do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Because you can hurt a lot of people that way, just by being right. Okay, you know, there's better ways to go about it than that. And we've got to understand that Eliphaz is digging a pretty deep pit here. And by the way, if you go to the end of the book, you understand why God says for Job to pray for his friends. Because by the end of the book, God has had enough of these friends and what they had to say, not only judging Job, but judging God. Unjustly, I may add. So, we understand that here, Eliphaz makes reference to the saints. Now, this word, as it's listed in the Bible, is talking about something that is sacred, holy, and consecrated. All right? In the Old Testament, this word translated into saints is that way. Also, in the New Testament, it's that way. Now, when you look at that word, you're going to understand that it's basically talking about someone who's saved. That's what that word is in reference to. So Eliphaz is saying, which one of the saints will you turn to? In other words, Job, are you even one of us? Because none of us, Job, have experienced anything like this. So you must be a fraud. Now think about that. Just because Job sits in silence for 7 days and then opens his mouth in great grief and anguish and sorrow, that means he's not born again? That means he's not saved? Because he shows a little emotion, he shows a little feeling, he shows a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it depression or whatever you might want to call it. So Eliphaz, he's not saved now? That's kind of interesting. I'm so glad that our actions don't make us saved or not. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. And it is according to his mercy. You know, we are one of the few churches and types of churches that believe in something called eternal security. I guess Eliphaz wasn't familiar with that doctrine, I guess. But you understand that saints are not saints due to their own goodness or self-righteousness. Saints are saints by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ alone. And let me just say this, Old Testament and New. These saints are saints because of the faith in the finished work of God. It doesn't mean that a believer and a saint is without sin. It just means that we've been forgiven of our sin. You understand that to be called a saint is not based on your merit. It's based on His merit. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who makes us saints. We have to understand that. I wish Eliphaz would have understood that, because he may have had a little more sympathy for his friend. But it seems like Eliphaz was focused on the works aspect. And that, you know what? I'm not even saying that Eliphaz himself wasn't saved. I'm just saying he had the wrong focus. He bought into something, and maybe he was fooled by this spirit, by this vision that he had in the night. I don't know what it was. But he kind of missed a few things. In Deuteronomy 33, we hear this from the scriptures. It says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together." Now here we see that God's people are called what? Saints. They were set apart, they were sacred, they were consecrated, they were holy to God. They were His chosen people. Guess who gets to decide that? God does. Aren't you glad that we don't decide who's saved and who's not? When I get a chance to baptize someone, you know what I say? I baptize thee, my brother or my sister, based on what? Your public profession of your faith. That's what the basis is. You understand that Job lived a life consistent with someone who feared God and eschewed evil. Not only did God know it, but his friends knew it. And now because of this tragedy in his life, all these bad things that happened seemingly at once. By the way, that should have given somebody a clue. That something extraordinary was going on. Job was a good man. He was set apart. He was holy. He was sacred to God by God's own mouth. Psalm 97, the Bible tells us in verses 9 through 12, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." By the way, did Job hate evil? Yes. What is Eliphaz trying to say? Job, you're a lover of evil. I'll get to that in just a minute. He says, "He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Now, if you think about that statement that David makes in Psalm 97, you might think like Eliphaz thinks about everything being great for the believer. Everything being great for the one who loves and fears God. It says here that he preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. That all sounds good, right? But you understand it's not just one-sided like that. There are difficult times that the righteous go through. There are oppressions. Just read the rest of the Psalms of what David went through. Eliphaz is treating this like there's only one side to the coin. He's treating this like there's only one way that this evil could come upon you, Job. It's because you must either not be saved or you've gone so far to the other side that God is punishing you. Is that always true, folks? No, it's not always true. By the way, enough time hadn't passed yet to make a proper judgment.
Now, to be fair, could Job have been dabbling in things that nobody else knew about and being judged for these things? Certainly. We get to see the whole picture, you see. But maybe that should help us and warn us not to pass judgment on our own, either against others or against God. Because guess what? We don't know the whole story. Now, God has given us many things in the scriptures for examples. He wants us to have these examples so that we can make proper judgments. But here's the thing. He also cautions us not to make judgments unless those things may happen to us. Because guess who gets to be the judge? God does. So he wants us to be careful and to take great care and concern. Eliphaz wasn't all wrong about the things that he was saying. He was just wrong to peg Job as such. He goes on, as we look here in our text today, he says this about the wicked people. He says, "For the wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." So he's equating Job to these fools, to these people that are silly. He says here that his children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. What's he making reference to here? More than likely Job's children. And he's comparing them to the children of the silly and the foolish and the wicked and the evil. He says, "Whose harvest the hungry eateth up." What happened to Job's harvest? It's gone. "And taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance." What happened to all of Job's cattle and donkeys and all those things? They were stolen. In every circumstance here, Eliphaz is placing some blame here. He says, "Job, these things happen to the foolish. These things happen to the silly ones. These things happen to the wicked. The ones that the saints won't side with." He says, "Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground." So he's saying, look, he's saying, this stuff doesn't come from the earth. Job, these robbers and this destruction doesn't come from the earth. It comes from the hand of God. He said, "Yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Is that, by the way, is verse 7, is that a true statement? Oh yes, that's the nature of mankind. And guess what happens with sparks? They always fly. So guess what man is always? Yeah. People ask me, "Brother Combs, you staying out of trouble?" What do you suppose I answer? Just take a wild guess. No. No, I don't stay out of trouble. I'm always in trouble. Why? I guess I'm a man, right? "Yet a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And then he switches after these first 7 verses of a vicious indictment. He says, if I were you, Job, I would seek after God. Oh boy. Really, Eliphaz? Listen to what he goes on to. He says this, "I would seek unto God. And unto God would I commit my cause." What do you think Job's been doing? I mean, was he really listening to his friend as he gave out this grief? He said, "Which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that may be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety." He said, Job, if you would have poured out your heart and mourned, God would have, if you were righteous, God would have exalted you to safety. He says, Job, I know, because if it were me, I would have done this. As if Job didn't do that. You forget Eliphaz came in a little bit late. Did you notice that in our story? He wasn't there when the news first came in. He wasn't there when the boils first came. What did Job do those first two times? He did remember God. He did call out to God. Anyways, he says more about God here. By the way, are these things true about God? They are. He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He said, Job, if you'd have called on God, God would have tied the hands of these evil people and they wouldn't have been able to touch you. By the way, was that true? It was until God said, Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Oh God, he only serves you because you protect him, because you have tied the hands of the crafty people. Go ahead and let those hands loose, God, and he'll curse you to your face. That's in the Hebrew text. Well, guess what? The crafty were loosed and their enterprises were performed. Why? Because God allowed it to be so. It says, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. He's like, God makes these evil people to fall on their own devices. By the way, is that true? Yes, it is true. It says, they meet darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword and from the mouth and the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope and the iniquity stoppeth her mouth. You know, those are generally true statements. But the fact that Eliphaz is trying to justify what's going on. By the way, that's always a dangerous thing. To try to justify what's going on. Because the bottom line is, we don't know. As we ended last week, we talked about these verses, but I thought them fit to be repeated. But in John 4, we know that we're supposed to not believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 Peter, we're reminded to beware of these people that falsely accuse our good conversation in Christ. And in Revelation 12, we know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses them before our God day and night. And we've got to beware about these accusations. Don't forget that ye which are spiritual are supposed to restore such an one. We're supposed to be a help in time of need. And we're supposed to be there for our friends that are going through difficulties. We need to examine ourselves. Eliphaz did not do a good job of examining himself. He indeed was lifted up in pride. And he's letting his pride speak up. And by the way, the devil knew exactly what to tickle in Eliphaz. He goes, you know what? This guy is so full of himself, so self-righteous. I'm going to send some kind of a vision to spark a thought in his mind, and he's going to condemn his friend and condemn his God. And did it work? Wonderfully it did. Now, as we continue on, we'll look at the rest of these verses here. He's going to encourage Job to turn back to God. Because, you know, that's what Job needed, just maybe if I just give him a swift kick in the pants, it'll jumpstart him in the right direction. Actually, what Eliphaz needed was a good kick in the pants. Because he's berating his friend and his God. We've got to be careful about placing judgment. Let me just say a few things and we'll be done. You understand that God's work is the work of judgment. That's God's job. He's the one that is able to judge. effectively judge, and purposefully judge. God is our protector. He's our hope. He's the one that will bring judgment on the wicked and blessings on the righteous. He's the one that's merciful and gracious. He's the one that's powerful. He's the one that can deliver. And we've got to trust Him. That's the bottom line. Through the judgments, through the trials, through the difficulties. Now, in this particular case, what Job was going through, as far as we know, was not a judgment. It was a trial. It was one of those fiery trials. But I guess Eliphaz had never had gone through one of those. Maybe because Eliphaz wasn't the man Job was. Job was a righteous man. He was upright. He feared God and eschewed evil. That was not said of Eliphaz. As we work with relationships amongst the brethren, we just need to be careful with how we deal with the things that come into our lives. And by the way, that we get to have a part of. You know, to help a brother or sister that's going through a difficult time is something that we should cherish. We should look forward to. Not condemning them. Say, oh, I just can't wait to throw this in this brother or sister's face. Oh, they've been so so nice to people. Every time that somebody is having a problem, I just can't wait till God does something to them so I can tell them they're wicked. Why would you do that? That's horrible. Why would you think that? It just feels like that's where Eliphaz was. And we've got to not be like that at all. But show that compassion and that love and withhold that judgment, because judgment is the Lord's.